ready for a deep dive into a memoir. This one's got a compelling life story, a burst of artistic expression, and even, maybe, a hint of the unexplainable. We're unpacking Nawal's awakening. It's a wild ride, believe me.
What's really intriguing is how the author brings all this together, the personal history and the artistic exploration, even a brush with mortality, to illuminate a grander concept, the Nawal equation.
That's where things get really interesting, right? It's not just some random formula. It's presented as a potential key to understanding, well, everything. But how about we rewind to the beginning of the author's journey and see what sparked this whole awakening?
It all starts in 2003, a pivotal year for the author. That's where we see a series of events that almost seem orchestrated, like they were pushing him towards a huge shift in perspective.
It's quite the wake-up call, really. It all kicks off with a relationship ending on April Fool's Day. Kind of makes you wonder if the universe has a sense of humor, you know?
Absolutely. It does make you think about the significance of timing disrupting the author's reality on a day that's all about questioning perceptions of what's real.
This whole thing about illusion versus reality, things not being quite as they seem, that's going to come up again, by the way. But let's stay in 2003 for now. A few months after the breakup, the author is contemplating life on his birthday, which just so happens to coincide with a total lunar eclipse. And not just any eclipse, it's the first in a series of four, a tetrad.
Which are incredibly rare. These tetrads are, you know, they only happen in cycles over really long periods. It's almost as if the cosmos is aligning with a new chapter unfolding in the author's life.
It's wild how these seemingly unrelated events, a personal loss and this celestial phenomenon, start weaving together. It creates a sense of something bigger going on, wouldn't you say?
Precisely. It really speaks to the interconnectedness of experiences. And it only deepens as we go further into the author's journey.
Because, of course, this eclipse on his birthday is just the beginning. The author's life takes another turn on Father's Day that same year. He decides to visit his family's ancestral burial ground. While he's there, he discovers something truly remarkable on his great-great-great-grandfather's tombstone.
Okay, now you've got to tell me, what did he find?
The inscription said, died 16 May 1899, his birthday. It's this undeniable link across generations, almost like a message from the past. It's what sends the author on a quest to unravel his family history.
And, as I'm sure we'll find out, this genealogical deep dive unearths astonishing connections and ancestral echoes that ultimately shape the very foundation of the Nawal equation. But we'll uncover those fascinating details right after the break. So before the break, we were about to uncover some remarkable ancestral connections. This genealogical deep dive, it sounds like it's about to get really interesting. What did the author find out about his family history?
Oh, it's not just interesting, it's mind-blowing. It's like each new revelation just peeled back another layer.
Yeah.
You know, this rich tapestry of history. Coincidence. Maybe even destiny.
Okay, you've got me hooked. Tell me more.
So remember how this whole journey started with that theme of illusion versus reality?
Yeah.
Well, one of the first things the author discovers is that he's a direct descendant of, get this, Che Guevara. Talk about a revolutionary lineage.
Wow. Okay, that's a curveball I didn't see coming. And, you know, it adds a whole new dimension to the author's own story, don't you think?
Yeah.
His whole journey is about challenging assumptions, seeking truth. It's like revolution and upheaval are woven into his very DNA.
It's incredible. Right. But hold on, there's more. Remember that whole thing about the author's great-great-great-grandfather's death date, May 16th, the same as his birthday?
Yes, that synchronicity was really something.
Right. Well, that discovery sent him down this rabbit hole, all these historical records and stuff. It turns out his ancestors on that side of the family were from Ireland, and not just any Irish ancestors. He's a direct descendant of ancient Irish kings who were crowned at the Hill of Tara. And get this, it's right near where his great-great-great-grandfather was born.
You're kidding. It's like history is rhyming.
Mm.
Through his family line. Incredible. It really makes you wonder, you know, about those chance encounters, those little discoveries we all have in our own lives. What if they're echoes of some deeper ancestral story?
That's something the author keeps coming back to in the memoir. But here's where things get even weirder. Remember those ancestral burial grounds I mentioned, where his ancestor's headstone was?
Right, a place full of history and, I imagine, a certain energy.
Exactly. Well, it turns out that burial ground is connected to a church in Atlanta.
Hmm.
And you're not going to believe this. It's the same church where the author goes to later seeking guidance.
You've got to be kidding me. That's more than just a coincidence at this point.
Just wait. There's more. He finds out about another ancestor. This one played a big part in saving several churches from being destroyed during the Civil War. Any guesses which church was one of them?
Let me guess. The same church.
Ding, ding, ding.
We have a winner.
It's like his destiny was tied to that church somehow, you know? Like his ancestors were guiding him the whole time. These revelations, those ancestral echoes, they really got to him. He talked about feeling the sense of purpose, of being part of something so much bigger than himself. And it's these feelings combined with his artistic side that lead to his next breakthrough, this thing he calls the quad train technique.
Okay, now I'm dying to know more about this quad train technique. How does it connect to everything we've just been talking about?
Well, to understand that, we need to fast forward a little bit. We need to dive into a pivotal experience the author has at a Shinedown concert. Remember that total lunar eclipse that happened on the author's birthday?
Yes, the beginning of the tetrad.
Right. Well, this concert takes place during the second eclipse of that very same tetrad. And let me tell you, that's where things take a decidedly more mystical turn.
This is where we really get into the heart of the awakening, isn't it? Tell me everything. What happened at the concert?
So picture this. It's July 2003, second eclipse of the tetrad. The author's at this Shinedown concert, totally immersed in the music, you know? And he decides to enhance the experience a little. Let's just say he tapped into a different level of consciousness for this one.
Setting the stage for a proper awakening, it sounds like.
Exactly. He's feeling the music, feeling those good vibes, and he looks up at the eclipse and something just hits him. He decides to ask the universe for guidance.
Bold move. What happened next?
He suddenly hit with this, like, incredibly vivid memory, this near-death experience he had when he was younger. It all comes flooding back in such detail, and he hears a voice.
Okay, now that would freak me out, even with all the good vibes, you know. What did the voice say?
It said, just call me Father.
Whoa. Okay, yeah. That's not something you just brush off.
Yeah.
Especially with everything else going on, the ancestral stuff, those visits to the church, you can see why he'd be shaken up by that.
Absolutely. And it's that phrase, just call me Father, that really sends him on this whole new path. He starts exploring art, abstract photography specifically.
It's funny how that happens, isn't it? How we turn to creative expression to make sense of these really profound experiences, even mystical ones.
Totally. It's like he was trying to capture what it felt like to be at that concert, that feeling of interconnectedness, you know, all the stuff we don't fully understand. That's when he starts developing this unique photographic technique he called quad train. He'd use mirrors and reflections to create these multi-layered images. It was all about light, about capturing it in different ways.
Hold on. Quad train. So the name's not random, is it?
Yeah.
It's like the eclipse tetrad, those four lunar events that kind of bookend this whole awakening. And now this recurring thing with light, the eclipses, the concert lights, now his photography. There's something there, isn't there?
You're picking up what I'm putting down. It's like light, you know? It becomes this visual representation of revelation, almost as if he's trying to capture something divine in the physical world.
And is this quad train technique what leads to Elohim? That was a pretty important piece, right, for the Noel equation.
Elohim, yeah. That was the big finale of all this artistic soul searching, his attempt to capture, well, the intangible. And it's this process, the creating, the wrestling with light and shadow, the layering, that's what leads him to the Noel equation itself, or at least that's how he tells it.
You mentioned earlier it wasn't just some formula, but a potential key to understanding everything. So what exactly is the Noel equation?
It's kind of this blend, mathematical principles, philosophical concepts, scientific theories, all mixed up together. He got inspiration from all the greats, Einstein, Newton, Socrates. The way he explained it, it's about how a single moment can hold infinite possibilities.
It's like that quantum physics stuff, the idea that observing something can actually influence the outcome, that reality is not set in stone.
There you go. And he even talks about quantum physics in the memoir, so you're right on the money. But here's the thing, it's not just theoretical. The memoir explores how we can actually use this idea, these infinite possibilities, in a single moment.
Okay, now that's what I'm talking about. How? How are we supposed to apply this in the real world?
So he says that if we can really get this concept, if we can train ourselves to see past the limitations of how we think about reality, we can unlock all this potential in ourselves, even in the world around us. And he walks the walk, too.
Yeah.
He doesn't just talk about it. He creates these incredible art pieces, all with the Noel equation on them, and gives them to, like, Collective Soul, Shinedown, Hailstorm, all these bands he loves.
Wait a minute. Isn't this where that synchronicity thing comes back?
Oh, you know it. Because here's where it gets really interesting. A lot of those bands, right after getting those pieces, they release albums with themes of transformation, self-discovery, even facing down darkness. It's like, I don't know, like the Noel equation, maybe the energy behind it, seeped into their music somehow.
You know, that's wild. It really makes you think, you know, about how energy works, about inspiration, about how we might affect each other without even realizing it.
That's the magic of it all. And it's what makes Noelle's awakening such a trip. It's personal transformation, ancestral echoes, and this idea that a single moment can hold, well, everything. He challenges us to question what we believe, embrace the unknown, that kind of thing. Who knows what we'll find if we just look a little closer, listen a little deeper, you know? Maybe, just maybe, there's more to this life than we think.